Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
You might recall last week, Thursday, we had two very important conversations. First of all, last week, Wednesday, was Global Ethics Day. But on Thursday, we then had a conversation regarding ethics that specifically seemed to find their way towards the accounting and auditing sectors. The second of which was our conversation with the Auditor General of South Africa, Tsaki Maluleke, who gave us sort of an oversight as to some of the complexities that she sees, not only in public sector, but of course she's had an illustrious career. But we also discussed the concerns that are seen in the auditing sector in general. Today, we continue in that theme with Saika giving us more affirmation of not so great news, which is that they confirm workplace misconduct is at an all-time high. SAICA, of course, is the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, and anyone who's looked at the headlines of the financial pages of the last couple of years, when I say couple, I mean several, a large number of the concerns that are raised are not just what have historically been seen as, you know, either mischievous politicians or incompetent business people, but fundamentally facilitated by very intelligent accountants or chartered accountants who are either able to obfuscate or support, let's say, questionable results. I'm joined this evening by Natasha Supel, who's the Senior Executive of Ethics, Standards and Public Sector at SAICA. Good evening, Natasha. Thank you so much for joining us. What was your biggest takeaway from this particular data that was pulled together from the Global Business Ethics Survey?
Good evening, and thank you for having me. I think specifically from my side, if I look at what came out of the ethics survey, was the current environments that individuals are currently working in, the impact it's having on them, and the way that they think in terms of the decision that they are making. So a lot of the decisions that are made, which we should consider, from an ethical decision-making standpoint, is actually being taken from a different standpoint due to various circumstances that individual is currently placed in. So I think the current challenges that impacts individuals nowadays has a great impact on how they take decisions.
Natasha, ethics is such a wide-ranging topic. Often when we hear accountants and ethics, we think about it playing out in the financial statements and the numbers, but there's so much more that ethics would refer to in the workplace. So when almost nine out of 10 employees say they don't feel like they work in an ethical workplace culture, to what are they mostly referring?
There's a number of factors that they actually look at. And if we looked at that survey specifically, they actually look at the ethical conduct of individuals in a workplace, and it's ethical conduct at all levels within the workforce, so from your most junior employees right until the most senior leadership within the organization. We also look at the leadership and what type of leadership is within that organization. You know, we always state that the tone is set from the top, and how ethical or what is the ethical leadership within that organization. I think the other thing that is quite important is the transparency within the organization, the frequency of communication, and how transparent is management in terms of the communication. And I think lastly is the accountability. Are we actually holding the right people accountable when things go wrong? And is there any consequence management that comes through from wrongdoing by staff within the organization?
How often or how many years has this study been going on? And I asked this for a follow-up question, which is, have you seen any improvement in the results since, for example, the State Capture Commission of the Commission of Inquiry into Allegations of State Capture, or let's say the Mpati Commission and others? I mean, has there been any shift in behavior, or is it only actually worsening? Maybe employees are feeling more free to speak.
has been going on for a number of years. It's been taking place globally, South Africa being one of the countries that have been participating in the survey. In terms of the changes and in terms of outcomes that have come through from the survey, we've noticed that in many instances, it has remained the same. For example, if we look at the pressure exerted within an organization, it has remained the same over the number of years. However, what is pleasing to report is that the number of individuals that are reporting misconduct is increasing over the years. And so we've identified that there are a number of individuals that are observing misconduct within the workplace, but they are also reporting it. I think what is critical to note is that the steps to reduce the misconduct hasn't been increasing. And I think that is a bit of a worrying thing for us.
I want to get on to the steps to correct the misconduct, but I want to take the win in terms of the what you're saying is whistleblowers are more inclined to come forward, which I'm hoping is a small win insofar as maybe they are not as vilified when they do, or maybe there are better protections for them, even if the behavior is not changing. Would that be a fair assessment?
Actually, in terms of the whistleblowers, as much as they are coming forward, because they are, they've been seeing much more. Unfortunately, in terms of the proper steps taken in terms of protecting those whistleblowers hasn't come so much. We often see that, or what we've seen from the report specifically, that the retaliation in terms of whistleblowing is still the same. And I think this is important because once we've noted this, it then speaks to what's going to happen in the future. It actually impacts on the speak-up culture within the organization. Absolutely. Because if you, as an individual, identify that there is nothing being done, or if there is retaliation against an individual who has spoken up, that more likely than not, future employees will think twice before speaking up. And so it is a bit worrying from that perspective.
Extremely worrying. So what next? I mean, you make a couple of, there are some proposals about taking the teachable moment, communicating deliberately and regularly, and taking action and sharing the results, all of which are very noble. But, again, to your point about it coming from the top, it seems as though there almost needs to be a shakeout of cultural, the cultural top of business, as we saw with the Steinhoff issue. It's the top two who have been indicted in one way or another, and in many other business issues.
Yes, very true. Training is one thing, and I think training individuals, there's only so far that it goes. It's important that the leadership within the organization actually sets the tone. And when we look at leadership specifically, we are indicating that those leaders should firstly be ethical in their behaviors, but they also need to be visible, they need to be consistent, they need to be credible and authentic. And I think it's one thing living these things, but another thing influencing the rest of the organization. So it becomes important that even a leader needs to be influential in the way they react from an ethical standpoint to the rest of the organization. I think employees, once they know where they stand within an organization, would actually take the right steps and will, reflect the ethical behavior wanted from the leaders themselves.
I think that's so critical, Natasha, and that's not just in the South African context. So to your point, 42 countries participated in this survey. Over 75,000 employees actually made contributions to this. And it seems to me, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that the findings are relatively similar region to region across these 42 countries. And while we are very grateful for organizations, like SAICA, who are putting a spotlight on the ethics and compliance initiative, certainly in my experience in asset management, for example, nobody pays attention to ESG until the person in charge of the P&L pays attention to ESG. So for our listeners, you know, environmental, social and governance, or what is often seen to be soft issues, because ethics, I think, sometimes gets pulled into a soft issue concern. There will be an ethics committee or an ethics workshop or a social governance or governance or environment workshop or black economic empowerment workshop. Until the people who are actually driving the revenue of the business, driving the bonuses and are not only held to account by those standards, but are also seen to be the champions of that within an organization, I tend to find that the tendency is that even down to junior staff disregard that which does not necessarily pay them off at year end. Is this a fair assessment on my part?
Yes, it's actually a correct assessment in terms of what you're saying, because I think one of the key reasons why we do identify ethical misconduct is coming through the way that we measure a performance, for example. And in order for individuals within an organization to reach their objectives, they may do it through unethical means. And I think one thing that's coming out is that we need to actually train managers to reduce undue pressure in terms of meeting the strategy of the company. And this needs to be done. Well, basically, managers need to ensure that whatever decisions are taken are taken in an ethical behavior, you know, from an ethical decision-making stance, and that ethical behavior is rewarded. So even though an individual may have achieve their targets, but if it was done through an unethical behavior, that individual should not really be rewarded for that.
Sure, it's a tough one. It's a tough one, Natasha. I mean, I completely agree with you. I can only imagine how many employees have been in a situation, because, I mean, your data is saying 56% of employees who witnessed a cover-up or no action being taken did not report their observation. Incentivized to create a cover-up or not take action is normally a person protecting the continued flow of profit. And it's very seldom that the mavericks or the profit makers, you know what I'm saying, in the business are taken to task. And so it's a big ask of managers to say forego profit not necessarily forego profit, because at the end of the day, in the long run, profit will be better. But create this culture where we will forego questionable practices that may benefit us in the short run in favor of ethical practices that will protect the firm's brand, and of course, jobs, frankly, in the long run. But it's an important ask.
Yes, because I think from a South African perspective, we've seen a lot of corporate failures in the recent past. And if we look at sustainability of business going forward, one of the key things is driving an ethical culture. Because if we look at what's happened, even through the state capture, we've lost over 250 billion rand. And if we look at other JSE listed companies that have gone down, a lot of these were profit-driven, if I can say, from companies on the JSE where it was profit-driven. However, it was done through unethical means, yes, which ultimately cost the company at the 100%. End. So I think that's where the whole promotion, in order to be a sustainable company in the future, one should actually promote ethical decision-making, ethical behavior, so that they can attract investors to their company in the long run.
Couldn't agree more. Natasha Supol, thank you so much. Senior Executive of Ethics, Standards and Public Sector at SAICA, which of course is South Africa's Institute of Chartered Accountants.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.